Hey, good morning, everyone. Dave Weiner here. A lot of things connect up this morning, and I want to see if I can connect them, like, verbally. One of them is a piece on Fast Company that Doc Searls pointed to, which basically says Facebook's 10-year plan is to become the Matrix. And so you read the piece, and, you know, you realize, yeah, you know, I kind of have seen the pieces, you know, sort of coming together on this one, or at least there's a point out, some point in the future where this is obviously where we're going. And, you know, the place where we're going is virtual reality headsets on, you know, and headphones presumably too, so you have a visual and audio complete immersion in whatever is being provided to you by the computer. And portability. The internet goes with you everywhere, so you're wearing this wherever you go, no matter what you're doing. Walking down the street, eyeballs, this is like a new layer on your vision. Think about it, it's like Google Glass. I mean, Google Glass was a rather sort of timid first step in this direction. What Facebook's saying is that doesn't go far enough. We really just need to go ahead and punt on vision altogether and let the computers own vision, which isn't so far-fetched if you think about it in terms of the audacity of Silicon Valley, that they're going to drive our cars for us. They're going to make our websites for us, obviously. You know, what we're reduced to on those websites are basically the equivalent of thumbs up or thumbs down. I mean, that's basically the level of sort of detail of the surface of another human being, is they agree or they disagree. Or maybe you can tell what their gender is or how old they are, where they work, various different things that sort of connect up with specific cubby holes in your brain where you store opinions about things or experiences. So when that cubby hole is stimulated, out come your opinions and your experiences, which you share with nobody because absolutely nobody cares or is listening, except, however, the advertisers care. They're listening because they're deciding based on what you're saying what experiences you should have. And, you know, with vision coming to you through the Facebook filter, you better be sure that the visions that you get are going to be careful not to look at that thing, because once you do, you'll see it about 80,000 times. You know, this is the experience we all have, right? I mean, you go look at something on Amazon, or you go to Expedia and think, you know, you want to find out how much does it cost to fly to blah, 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 you know. I don't want to say it because I'm conditioned. Don't say these things unless you want to get inundated. And, you know, just asking for that. Well, for the next, like, for example, I wanted to find out where a ski area was. A friend of mine who lives in Utah, who I thought lived in Salt Lake City, turns out he lives in southern Utah, talked about a ski area that I had never heard of. And I thought, oh, wow, they've opened up another ski area in the Salt Lake City area that I haven't heard of. So I asked him about it, and he said, no, this is down in southern Utah. And so then I went and Googled it. Now I'm getting offers to go to this ski area, even though there's no chance ever under any circumstances. Yeah, you know, you've seen this all the time. I mean, the dating service on Google, on Facebook, decided that since I wasn't responding to all their suggestions, I wasn't in any way responding to their suggestions that I go out on dates with some very attractive looking women, I have must say. They look quite out of my league. This is the first thing. I mean, if they want me to think about dating them, show me some, like, less whatever. I mean, you know, that's my first thought when I see the women, you know. So if anybody from Facebook's listening, you might want to try and vary that a little bit and give us a little bit, you know. I mean, without too much information. Well, anyway, they decided, since I wasn't clicking on the women, that they would start showing me men and see if that made a difference. And they're very good-looking men, I have to say. And if I went for that, I would probably not go for them because perfection to me is... Because, actually, now this brings me a perfect segue into the flip side of this whole story, is A video that I saw on a story written by Dean Hakimovich. And Dean, it's a short piece, and you'll find a link to it on my blog today, today being March 29th, 2015, if you happen to get this some point in the future, blogofscripting.com. Anyway, so Dean's piece was about narcissism and traffic. I forget, it was the third concept in there. And basically the idea is that the people are a lot richer and more complicated than we usually, than we really ever give them credit for. And he had a video on there which was so moving to me. I mean, just incredibly moving to me, that basically the camera goes through a hospital. It's a obviously a set. The people are actors, and they all look perfect, even though some of them are very sick. And they also look very sick, too. And they go, and they have little thought bubbles over each person's head about basically, well, they aren't really thought bubbles. It's not what they're thinking. It's their circumstance. And they're very moving. I mean, in an elevator, there was a man whose wife just had a stroke, and he's worried about how he's going to take care of her. There's a physician in the elevator, a woman who had said she's going through a divorce. There was another person who was wearing some kind of a white jacket, obviously staff of the hospital, and he just found out he's going to be a father. So these are three people in one physical place, in very different places in their lives, with very different sort of, position. And yet, if judging them by the information we have about them from their physical appearance, we would probably never draw these conclusions about them. I mean, you'd have to say that a person wearing civilian clothes in a hospital is probably there related to an illness. Generally, that's why people are in hospitals. There was another example. People in lab coats are doctors, and they're here, there to help people. But one of the things they point out by going through all these people is that the doctors get sick too. And so one of them... Yeah, I don't want to put any spoilers in here, but these are so moving. I mean, because it's so true. Because the reality is that we've put these layers on people of artificiality. We do the same thing as people that we hate that the algorithms do. We judge people by their appearances. And you know, okay, he's not going for the women, then he must be gay, right? Well, how many times do we go through things like that with people that we're talking about instead of just asking them and having the courage to actually listen to what comes back? And you only get that at very rare times. It doesn't happen often. And oftentimes when people are going through times of great vulnerability where they have no choice, they can't hide what's going on with them, that oftentimes there's a feeling of resentment all around the whole thing. You know, not just the people who resent having to be so vulnerable, but the people who resent having to think about the other person as real, as an actual human being. And it's... So we... It's a time to take stock. That's what I find. In terms of where we're at with this thing that we created called the internet, you know, it's a moment where we were at with TV right around the time, I guess, when I was born, which was 1955. TV was a cultural force, and it was very clear that it was going to go all the way. The world that I grew up in, you might have said, like they say, digital natives, I was a TV native. You know, for me, there was never a world without TV. These were all the things you could say, and TV went on and became something, and TV isn't finished evolving either. It's moving too. It's not a standing thing, but the cursor is on what is going to happen with us in the way we're using the internet, and we're at a point now where we could loop back to some of the things that we left behind. Seems that we could do that. At least some of us could do it, if not all, and probably not all, but some of us could go back to sort of, in this context, organic farming makes sense. Think about it, we've just transitioned from an agrarian to an industrial society. It's at this moment we could make a decision to develop a hybrid lifestyle that has the benefits of, I mean, I'd be the last person to say I don't want the benefits of online. My whole life has been about that, you know. So I'm not wanting to walk away from that. I like it. But I also, there are things that I like about it that we're losing. And I've seen this happen in so many times in technology related to the internet. And now I think it's happening in terms of our humanity in relationship to the internet. And I know that people have probably said this with every new technology that comes along. And you know something? Every time it's been true that there really are things we ought to take a look at as to whether or not we want to go in that direction and maybe consciously decide to go in a slightly different direction. This is one more thought, and then I have to call it a podcast. But it's kind of like the moment in history we are in at and for our species. It's like without gaining consciousness now, we won't survive. There's no argument about that. In fact, there's the argument would be, is there anything we could do to survive? And the answer, I believe, is yes. There are things we could do to survive, but it would require an incredible force of will, an incredible level of awareness being created at a species level. In other words, in order to do this, we have to really, really be able to crawl out of our bodies and look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture being what the fuck is happening with our species. And it's not about our planet. It's, as we've observed, the planet is going to be fine. It has hundreds of millions of years to get over us. It is not in any hurry. We, on the other hand, have very little time. And so it might not be a really, it might, this time might be the time when the cynicism doesn't win out because the necessity is so great. So we ought to, as a species, be putting a lot of our resources into preserving and developing the intellectual aspects of the internet, not just waving goodbye to it. And saying, looking in the rearview mirror and saying, yeah, that's like just the way it goes, because we've run out of just the way it goes, is my opinion. Anyway, so 12 minutes, not bad. Let me just see if I can. Now comes the moment I have to figure out how to turn this thing off. It's all locked up. Okay. March 29th. 2015, Dave Weiner, scripting.com, and we'll see you soon.